You're always welcome to call us on an open line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number. OLT is presented by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live, Ricky.
We had David Bernad on the show a couple months ago.
Yes.
One of the producers of White Lotus.
Yes.
He used to work on our show.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who writes White Lotus is a guy named Mike White.
Yes.
I believe David Bernad said he's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he is. Super successful writer, producer, director in Hollywood. Did you know he was on Survivor?
I did know that he was
he's
on Survivor,
boys with Jeff
yes.
Probst.
Yep.
Valdez, are you aware that Mike White is coming back for season 50?
Yes, of course. You think I didn't? You think I wasn't?
A big Survivor mark.
You think I wasn't on pins and needles when Jeff was announcing all of the contestants for Survivor 50?
Oh, you were
yesterday.
You had your popcorn the whole night.
Yes, Cerie's gonna be on it. The mastermind, Jonathan, the Goliath in challenges. Joe from last season's gonna be on it. The winner, Kyle's gonna be on it with his right hand man, Camila.
You think people know all these names? Like, you're treating these people like they're Madonna and Prince. Like,
of course, Survivor Marks. Survivor Marks study these seasons inside and out.
What was the season that Mike White was part of?
It might have been the David versus Goliath.
Correct.
Man,
he was part of David versus Goliath and was runner-up. I found it intriguing. Apparently, he's used a couple of castaways.
Oh, he has.
On White Lotus.
Really?
Yes.
Like, for speaking parts, or they're just randos sitting,
I don't know.
Sitting at a table while
Valdez, are you that deep into Survivor
no,
to
I
know,
don't know? I don't
who
know
he used
who he,
on White Lotus.
I don't know who he's casted or not casted.
He used Angelina and Christina. Maybe they were part of the David versus Goliath season. But yeah, it's big news in the Survivor world.
I've been out on Survivor for...
How many years now?
I think it's
50
like...
50 seasons.
50 seasons.
So,
yeah,
so two a
50
year.
Seasons.
It started right...
So that's a good
it started
run.
When
so
we
25
were,
years.
25
yeah.
years.
And
pretty
it,
good
it
run.
Started when we were a nighttime show. I remember us talking about it back when Rudy was on it.
Yeah.
And I believe Rich won the first Survivor.
Yes, Richard won.
Yeah.
Then he went to jail for not
Richard
tax
Hatch?
Evasion, I
Richard
believe.
Hatch?
Yes.
Richard Hatch.
Yes. Okay, somehow I still remember that name.
Kelsey still watches it.
Really?
Any of your kids watch it?
No, they're so far out.
I don't think
out.
My daughters watch it.
They're as out as I was on being able to ID rappers that my son was playing on Spotify on the way home from the Metallica show last night. I mean,
so he had enough of the headbanging music. Was like, let's
just
play rap.
No, my kids find it entertaining how out of touch I am musically with anything that's basically contemporary. Man, I'm the worst.
Yeah, my daughters listen to more music that I listen to.
Yeah.
As opposed to me listening to the music that they love.
Right.
I mean, I like some of those.
Well,
the
it's
artists.
Probably because you drive, so you control the radio.
No, I'm saying they have it on their Spotify. They listen to it. Like, they love Fleetwood Mac. My daughters love Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Eagles.
Like, am I really supposed to be able to identify who Don Toliver is?
Yeah.
Valdez? Valdez, am I supposed to know that?
No.
Am I expected to know who that person is? Even though, side note, I did see him live because I took my kid to Echo Stage to see him when he was like probably 15 or 16 with all of his buddies. So I've seen that person live.
I don't even think he's as popular as A$AP Rocky, and I couldn't pull him.
Yeah, I couldn't give you one A$AP Rocky tune. If you gave me $1 billion, wouldn't be able to pull it. I'm guessing our next guest wouldn't be able to either. He's on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Say good morning to Matt Doherty, former Carolina Hoops coach. Other stops in there as well. Coach, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Oh, always good to be on with you guys and talking basketball.
Hey, Matt, real quick, if you had a walk-up song or a walk-up band before we had you on, what would it be? Just curious.
Good question.
It's Aloe Black, I think. You're the man, you're the man, you're the man, or I'm the man, I'm the man. Yeah, that one.
Oh, Rick Snyder's
Rick Snyder
song.
Tune. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very
that's,
good.
It's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
Nick,
yeah.
We'll remember
my
that.
My alter ego.
We'll remember that. All right, just kind of give us your thoughts. before we get into, you know, other stuff, your thoughts on what the OKC Thunder are doing defensively to other teams. In the 12 wins so far in the playoffs, I believe they've got five. It's either 5 or 6, 30 points or more victories. I mean, that's just an absurd number.
They are, first of all, you got to be committed. You know, I think it's a commitment level. And I was last night on the game, they were talking about the coach and how Mark is a stickler to details. And most coaches are. And I think the key is, do the players want to listen? You know, are they mature enough to listen? And this is a young team. And sometimes that might be good, you know, like, because they're more like college players in terms of their enthusiasm, their togetherness. You know, you see them all the post-game interviews, whenever, you know, SGA is being interviewed, which he's usually the one being interviewed after the game, the whole team huddles around him. And so they, I think, are, you know, I say this as a coach, listening is a talent, like running and jumping. And when you get your best players committed to listening and doing the right thing, then it'd be, you know, that's more than half the battle. So what I've seen them do is just really smother, you know, it's almost like when Edwards has the ball at the top of the key, they're almost like in a 1-2-2 zone and forcing him to pass. And you can see his body language, he gets very frustrated and, you know, passes it and, you know, seems to, I hate to say, sulk a little bit. You know, I think his maturity level needs to improve. And so they force you to work and get really, you know, tougher shots. I don't think Minnesota had a real post-up game. Where, you know, the ball is penetrated in two ways, either dribble penetration or via the pass, and they really lack the post-up game. And I think Oklahoma City exposed that.
Matt, you talked about listening as a skill, and I'm just going to be brutally honest here. Like, if I'm SGA, like, he's got a $295 million Supermax extension waiting for him. Like, if I were him and I were, like, a bad guy, like, I probably wouldn't listen to anybody, but it just sounds like he's like dialed in. He gets it. Like, how is it like when guys are like have these huge guaranteed deals, how do you get some of them to listen? Because some of them might just see those dollar signs and feel like, I don't have to listen to what my coach is saying. I've got $200 million in the bank.
Yeah. What did you say? No, that was a joke.
Yes,
that
was a joke. I got it. Yeah, sorry, I got it.
I was hoping to sleep. It took me a second.
He went to Metallica concert last night. He's got 3 hours sleep.
That was my Long Island humor.
Yeah.
That is why Sam Presti, the GM, is really good at what he does, and his background is the Spurs. And when you look at the Spurs, you draft character as much as talent. Because you know that when they get paid, you know, their true colors are going to show up. And I think that I worked for the Pacers for 4 years. And then, you know, coaching college basketball. And I remember working for Roy Williams, and we talked about character wins championships. You can have the most talented team. I say this as an executive coach. Talent, systems, and culture. Every organization has the organizational triangle. Talent at the top, systems, and culture at the bottom. And you can have great systems and great talent, but if you have a bad culture, you're not going to win. And we have seen teams in all kinds of sports with average talent, average systems, great culture, and win. And I think what we're seeing with Oklahoma City, they have great talent. They have great systems because they have a terrific young coach, and they have an elite culture. And that's what makes them so dangerous.
Coach, you coached in, you know, 10 or 11 years in college. But what would you have said to Julius Randle last night when Alex Caruso picks him at half court and Julius Randle doesn't take one step to try and go down the court and defend an easy dunk from SGA because there was nobody from Minnesota down there to try and stop it. And Julius Randle just turned his back on it on the play and starts complaining. What would you say to that?
Well, that goes back to the character thing, you know. And I try to recruit Julius. I was at SMU. He's from Dallas.
Right.
And I saw him a lot in high school. He went to a good school. I think he's a good guy. I had a problem. I think it was last night's game. He went on set and did an interview while the rest of his player teammates are warming up. Like, you know, I mean, where's your head? I mean, that to me is, I don't know if I'm doing an interview on the set of ABC while my teammates are warming up. So, you know, you saw that with Edwards too. You know, they complain a lot. They whine a lot. You know, that's just part of the character thing, the immaturity that is showing up. You know, Alex Caruso, I saw him in high school. I didn't think he was good enough to play in the Big 12.
Wow.
I saw him in college, obviously at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was good enough to be a real impactful college player. I no way did I think the guy could play in the NBA. And what does he do? What is he all about? He's about character. That's his best skill, his character. He is tough. He doesn't give in. He dives on loose balls. He guards Jokic, you know, Jokic in the previous series. The guy does whatever it takes to win, and he improved. He improved his shooting. That used to be a big liability when he was in high school and college. And so, you know, those are the things I'm talking about, is drafting and attracting character, players with talent, but extreme character. And the culture, I say this all the time, culture is king. And the culture at Oklahoma City is elite. The culture at Minnesota, I don't know what goes on in the locker room, but I don't like Anthony Edwards' comments after games. Like his headline quote was, they wanted it more than us. Mm-hmm. What?
Right.
Like what? And so I think he's throwing shade on the coach. Like after the last game or one of the previous games, says, I didn't get enough shots. Well, whose fault is that?
Right. Yeah. We did talk about Michael Jordan.
I never heard Michael Jordan ever say that.
Let's move over to the other series. You surprised that Indiana's up 3-1?
Gosh, man. You know, when you see Indiana, like, they won more games on the road than they won home, I think, in the playoffs. It's really uncanny. I bet you it has the bookies all screwed up, right? Mm-hmm. Because you think that there is a home court advantage and you should have a, you know, be favored, and all of a sudden the whole series and, you know, the Knicks go and take a game in Indianapolis, first time they've ever done that in the history of the organization in the playoffs. That series is really like a fist fight. And the Knicks may win tonight, but I don't think they win the series. I think that everything the Knicks get is hard. Like Jalen Brunson, okay, this is why I probably wasn't very good as a talent evaluator. I didn't think he played the NBA.
Hmm.
You know, here's a guy who looks like he's 6 foot tall, not very fast, okay quickness. You know, he's an all-star. However, everything he does is hard. And when the Pacers can put Naismith on, who's an elite defender, bigger, stronger, you know, and fighting over screens. So everything Brunson does is hard. I think that the Knicks, every shot, like I look at quality of shots, not necessarily if they go in or not. As a coach, we used to grade possessions. Even if you missed a shot, it might have been a possession because you got a wide open jumper, right? So they're like scoring off of sea level quality shots, contested jump shots, runners, you know, turnaround jumpers with a hand over hand in your face. Where the Pacers get easier shots, I think they're a little like Pascal Siakam. He can get a good shot whenever he wants because he's so long. He can create space. Halliburton, long, can create some space. Miles Turner, you know, who has an incredible three-point shot for a seven-footer. So I think they get easier looks, and at the end of the day, that's what's going to take down the Knicks.
Matt, I wanted to ask you kind of just your thoughts on the scope of college basketball now. And when you were a coach, I think you stopped coaching in 2012. I could be wrong on that year.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. And, yeah, and, I was forced to stop coaching
right,
in 2012.
I get you. But now 13 years later, Matt, all right, and look, you played in the ACC for 4 years. You played with some great teams, won a national championship, obviously played with great players. But 13 years later, after your last year at SMU, how different the game is. Could you see yourself coaching now, dealing with NIL, dealing with the portal, dealing with all of the other, you know, distractions now? Yeah. Could you see yourself doing it?
I'm kind of glad. I remember this goes back in 2012 when I 2013 I was doing a game for ESPN at Florida. Billy Donovan was the coach, and Billy came up to me and says, "Matt, you should be glad you're out of it." He said, "Even the good kids want something."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, fast forward now a lot of that's legal, right? Now you can pay kids and do things, but it's crazier. And coaching basketball is my drug. I'm in rehab, you know, like I'm in coaching anonymous, like Alcoholics Anonymous. And so, you know, I'm in a good place because I'm an executive coach. I still coach. I'm still fulfilling my purpose. But I'm not dealing with the NIL parents, agents. You know, every player has an agent, and you have to go through the agent. And there's no... The problem is the leadership of the NCAA. When Mark Emmert left, he basically crapped the bed and just gave them everything. Like, finally succumbed to the pressure, public pressure, of giving players the transfer option and paying them. And then he left. There's no structure to it. And so when you look at these articles now in football and basketball, especially with the college coaches, they want structure. I think we all agree the players should get something, and that's actually good for basketball because players stay around longer. Like in North Carolina, Baycott and R.J. Davis, if they weren't getting paid, they wouldn't have stayed, yet they weren't good enough to play in the NBA. Right. Like Baycott's not in the NBA.
Right, right.
Or if he is, he's the last man on the bench.
Do you still live in the Carolina area?
Yes, I live in North Carolina.
Gotcha.
Matt,
so it's just there's no off season, and the hardest thing and the most frustrating thing for me as a coach is, you know, I like to create a good culture and have intricate systems. You know, talk about, you know, the organizational triangle, the systems and culture. You can't have intricate systems now because you have to dummy down the game because you only have the players for several months, right? And how can you create an elite culture in several months with players that are sitting next to each other? One knows that, hey, you're getting $1 million. I'm getting 400. I'm better than you. Uh-huh. Now, that happens in the NBA all the time, but it takes an elite leader as a coach to manage those egos, and that's why Kelvin Sampson is doing an amazing job at Houston.
Matt, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate it. It's Matt Doherty, former Tar Heels coach. Thanks again. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course, buddy.
Do appreciate it. Don't forget, coming up in the next hour, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Post Malone and Jelly Roll at Northwest Stadium. So keep listening for your chance to win.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.